Hello, everyone, and welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. My name is Elaine Summerfield, host of Inspire Indeed, where we're discussing community issues and hearing from the people who are working to address them. And hopefully you'll be inspired to think about how you're making a difference with your deeds. And here we are. The summer's already gone. I just can't believe it. Labor Day seemed to creep up on us quicker than usual this year. I don't know if it was the dreary summer, just didn't feel like we had a summer. But today marks a big day for lots of children and families, that first day of school. It's a day filled with excitement for a lot of us, but unfortunately, for whatever reasons transpire during the year, a number of students will decide to drop out instead of continuing on with their education. That exact rate depends upon how you're measuring it and who's measuring it, but I think one thing we'll all agree on is that it's a rate we want to have a positive impact on and something that we want to address to make sure that students have what they need to succeed. And, you know, it's not just as simple as the sound bites that we are hearing related to school choice or lack of parenting or the need for accountability demonstrated through standardized test scores. It can be related to a lot of things, whether it be individual students' needs, family issues, school environment, the broader neighborhood and the community in which the student lives. Well, today, Dr. Harold Fitcher, who is the president and CEO of Communities in Schools of Richmond, is here. And Communities in Schools of Richmond is a nonprofit that's addressing the dropout rates by helping to make sure students have the support they need to thrive in school and in life and build a successful future. Harold, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me today.
Now, I know that you, Harold, you've worked in public school system for a number of years. You've had experience as a middle school teacher and as part of the administration, right?
Yes.
And now you're leading a nonprofit that's still working within that school system environment, correct?
That's right. I spent 36 years with Richmond Public Schools and had an opportunity, I guess, 5.5 years ago now to move over to do this, something that I've been very passionate about for a long time.
Great. And then so you've been able to see this public school system from a variety of vantage points, and now you're sort of as a community partner working for a nonprofit helping the school system.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A whole new avenue for me.
Yeah. So in your opinion, Harold, how do you think we're doing in terms of our students graduating on time and being equipped with what they need to have a successful future?
Well, and clearly, there's a lot of work to be done. But the good news is that this year we did see an increase in the number of young people in the city of Richmond that graduated on time, meaning they graduated with their peers that they went into ninth grade with and they graduated 4 years later. That rate right now, according to the state, looks to be about 78%. So that's a fairly significant increase. It was about 70% a year ago.
Oh, just a year ago.
So
some gains.
Yeah, so we've seen some good gains there, but there's an awful lot of work to be done. About 7,000 kids a year drop out of school in this country. Huge amount. How you count who's the real dropout and who actually finishes in 5 years or 6 years or gets a GED is a little hard to tell, but what we know is that about a third of all of the young people in the country fail to graduate with their class. If you're in an ethnic minority group, that number goes up to 50%.
Okay.
So there's a lot of young people that are not coming out with their class. And the number one indicator of dropping out is not being with your class, having your peer group pass you by.
Oh, and so maybe feeling like you're being left behind and so losing that motivation to keep going?
That's right. And it starts at all different kind of points and times. So when we look at dropping out of school and talk about it, we look very early on. You know, for a long time, what people did was they kind of looked at, so what caused you to drop out of school when you're in high school? And one of the things that I found is, one, in my 36 years, I've yet to meet anybody that actually wanted to drop out of school. Mm. They just felt like life has dealt them a hand that it just didn't work for them. And many times what happens is it's life situations that get in the way. So if you aren't ready, and let me start in the very beginning. So if you're going to kindergarten and you don't have those kindergarten readiness skills, your numbers, letters, and colors, it's very likely that you're going to be held back early on in your elementary period. So all of a sudden, you're already losing your peer group. And then that same group of young people that didn't necessarily have the support in preschool gets to third grade when you're making that critical switch from learning to read to reading to learn, and all of a sudden they fall further behind because even though the schools are doing their work, most of us didn't learn to read just in school. It's a acquired skill that goes throughout your entire life, and it's practiced.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So many times our young people aren't practicing. So all of a sudden at third grade, sometimes they're as many as 2 years behind by the time they finish that. And they start moving into elementary school. And where they're not dropping out because they're not old enough, by the time you get to elementary school and you're 2 years behind, so maybe rather than being 11 years old or 9 years old, you know, all of a sudden you're 13 years old before you're ready to go into high school, starting to think, this isn't working for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're seeing kids that are not only 13, but they get held back in middle school because it's not working, and they start disengaging. And all of a sudden, they're 16, and they're just getting ready to go into ninth grade. So we see them go, and they hit ninth grade. But the largest dropout year of any point in time in schools around the country is in grade 10, that summer between ninth grade and 10th grade, where they figured out that I'm old enough to drop out, and this doesn't work. It just doesn't fit me. So, I fail all the time. My peers are gone. I'm the oldest one on the school bus.
So what can we do to support those students so that if they get to that point in their educational path that they decide that it's going to be worth their time and effort to continue on with education?
Well, I think part of this is we need to really look at this as a pipeline. Kids are going through an entire pipeline through school. So they start at preschool and elementary, and they go into middle and high. And every one of those areas has very strategic points that we need to wrap around, if you would, the young people that are there. So we need to work with young people early to make sure that they're getting their reading skills. And that may be with the parents reading at home. It may mean with siblings reading at home. It may mean volunteers into schools reading to young people to make sure that they're having more experiences reading and are starting to develop those language skills earlier. So we start working there. And then as we start moving up, we start having relationships with young people that says, it is important that you come to school. And we get into middle school, then we have to start getting people that are ready to tutor young people in skills, in math skills and in science skills, and those skills that are very difficult. But essentially, it's adults spending time with young people.
So that positive adult relationship in a child's life.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the five basics that Communities and Schools talks about all the time. And that's what we try to foster, is making sure that we have lots of adults coming into the schools. We have 23,000 children in the city of Richmond Public Schools. We really should have mentors for every single one of those 23,000 children. And we're only about 20,000 short right now.
20,000 short. So you have about 3,000 mentors in the schools.
That's right.
I did the math really quick. I had good support.
We have more volunteers than that coming in, but mentors that come in every single week. We don't have quite that many. So in Communities and Schools, what we're looking at doing is really breaking this down into, so what is most important as we work with young people. So when we look in kindergarten and first grade, when we look in middle and when we look at high school, we're starting to work on attendance. We're starting to work on behaviors, so how are you acting up, and we're starting to work on course completion. Because some research has been done by Johns Hopkins University and Chicago Schools and the Philadelphia Education Fund that's identified the most highly predictive reasons for kids dropping out of school. And those three things: attendance, missing 20 days or more from school in a given year, is a number one indicator that you're heading for dropping out. And you can imagine that when you start thinking, when I start getting more than 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 days, I'm getting behind in the work.
Right, right.
So
it's
I come back and I don't
mm-hmm.
know what's going on. And if I wasn't ahead of the class to begin with, if I was one of these young people that were a little behind, now it's getting drastically behind. Mm-hmm. And you can see now I miss more days because I don't feel part of this.
So that's the attendance piece.
That's the attendance piece. Mm-hmm. And then if you have one or two major behavioral incidents in a time, all of a sudden that's where kids start getting suspended from school. Mm-hmm. So they start getting suspended. At the same time, you have some normal attendance issues, and this stuff starts snowballing on young people. And then the other thing is course completion, making sure that they actually finish the class, being able to move with their peer group so that they don't feel like they're failing.
Well, I want to talk to you about that a little bit, but if you're just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, and today we're speaking with Harold Fitcher of Communities and Schools of Richmond. And Harold, could you let our listeners know what your website is, where people can get some more information, more details?
Yes, our web is www.cisofrichmond.org.
CISofRichmond.org. That's Communities and Schools of Richmond. And I know a lot of people refer to Communities and Schools as CIS, so I apologize if we slip into that during this discussion. But you had mentioned something about the course completion, the importance of that. But I also hear people talk about sometimes the negative impact of when people are being moved ahead just for social reasons. Can you address that a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's really important that we move children along because they can do the work, that we need to work with them. And that becomes our job as adults, to make sure that, that young people receive the material in a way that they can understand it and can own it and can move forward. It is a significant problem, I think, when we move young people forward socially and all of a sudden we find out that they cannot do the work, they can't do the next level work, and it gets to be a bigger and bigger problem.
Like you said, it snowballs.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of work being done right now. Sir Ken Robinson was, of course, in Richmond last year and spoke to the forum and really talked a little bit about changing the way schools look. And part of that is where you start seeing things come together with this course completion. One of the questions he asked is, why is it that we think everybody finishes courses at the same time? Mm-hmm. And that becomes very real when you start thinking. So in schools, we have 180 days. And at the end of 180 days, we make an assessment. You either made it or you didn't make it. And if you didn't make it, that doesn't mean you didn't learn anything. It just means you didn't learn enough to pass. Yet traditionally, the way schools are set up, we start you back at the beginning.
Back at the very beginning again.
And you mm-hmm. do it over again. Mm-hmm. There may be other ways to help mm-hmm. do that. And we'll talk a little bit later about a program that we have that helps with that with high school young people.
So you mentioned that Communities and Schools really focuses on that whole pipeline, starting when children are very young. So what services is CIS or Communities and Schools actually providing within the schools?
Okay. One of the things that the Communities and Schools does, are very proud of, is we try not to provide services that other people already are good at doing. So we try to connect the dots for services. So if a young person comes into a school and they may be hungry, and by the way, hunger is a very, very real issue in this city. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't realize that. We give out a huge number of backpacks with the help of Feed More every year. But so if they're hungry, if they need eyeglasses, if they need a mentor, if they need a tutor, if they need clothes, we try to make sure that those things that are hindrances to them concentrating on school, we try to move away from that. So if a young person needs counseling at school or at home, we try to make sure that we bring those services together for them.
So you have somebody in the schools that's, you said, serving as like a connector or coordinating all of the different resources?
Exactly. In each one of our 35 schools, we have a site coordinator.
Okay.
In a couple of them, actually, two. But that site coordinator, and most of them are full-time staff that they're in that school, and they are working with all of the young people that either the students self-refer or the principal or the counselors or the teachers say, this young person's having some issues, and can you help them with that? You know, as the weather starts getting colder, we'll start hearing early on from bus drivers who say, you know, I pick Johnny up from the bus stop every morning and they don't uh-huh. have a coat.
Uh-huh.
And we hear that. Or we'll have a teacher come in and say, Johnny seems like he's doing okay, except he can't seem to stay still, and that's affecting his ability to complete the work. So we may bring different agencies in to provide that. Or we may have an issue in a school where some young people may not understand what bullying looks like, and so we'll bring a program in to talk about bullying with Challenge Discovery Academy and bring folks in to start talking about, so what does this look like and what should you do if this is happening to you, so that we give them the tools that they need to be successful. So we kind of look at this whole child and see, mm-hmm. So other than the teaching and learning, because we think the teachers can do that, if we can help them have a young person that's focused on learning and work on those things that are hindering their ability to do that.
So you're working within the schools. Those site coordinators are in the schools, working with the teachers, principals, other people in the schools, identifying the students that could use the help. And it sounds like the services are pretty individualized.
Absolutely. For every child, we individualize the services that are needed. We do some programs that are school-based programs, but for the most part, we're looking at a young person that has an individual challenge and what type of intervention can we put to that to make this work for that young person. So we do, and we work not only with the agencies and with the school who are key partners with us, but we also work with the parent.
Okay,
so what is it that you're seeing, and mm-hmm. what can we do to help to make sure that they're getting there? So, some things are as simple as they need an alarm clock when we find that they're just not getting to school on time, and we say, we can handle that for you. Some things are more difficult, and maybe we need to help get some family counseling into the home, or maybe we need to have the young person have some counseling at the school to make sure that they have some tools in their toolbox to help them focus to do the work.
So, and it's again, very individualized per student, depending upon what their needs are. And you have, it sounds like, a variety of partners that you call on to do the work.
We work with 160 different agencies now.
160 different relationships you guys are maintaining throughout the year.
That's right. And that's a lot of relationships. But mm-hmm. we find that what we don't want to do is replicate efforts or reinvent the wheel. So when we mm-hmm. find people that are doing things exceptionally well, we bring them in, like Challenge Discovery Academy, Feedmore, who is incredible at making sure that we can get food out mm-hmm. out to the different people that we work with. Virginia Mentoring Partnership helps us to train all of our mentors to make sure that when we send volunteers into the school, that they're ready to go and they're trained with the state of the art and the best practice model for working with young people.
Right. So definitely a team effort, and it sounds like people from across the community getting involved with communities and schools all to help our Richmond Public School students. Now, but you said it's 35 schools. It's not all Richmond, right?
It's not all Richmond. We mm-hmm. we have this year we have 4 schools in Henrico County.
Henrico County too. Mm-hmm.
A Performance Learning Center, and then one elementary, one middle, and two middles, I'm sorry. We're in Highland Springs Elementary, Fairfield Middle, and Wilder Middle.
Those are all in the East End, right?
All in the East End. Mm-hmm. And we targeted that because one of the things that we learned early on was that we have a lot of our families that transition, and where there's this line in the road for jurisdictions, there's not a line in the road for where families move, and this could be Section 8 housing or any other reason, but they move back and forth between the areas. When we first went to Highland Springs Elementary School, which was our first venture into Henrico, we knew 80 of the young people already from our sites in Fairfield or Woodville.
Which is the East End of Richmond.
Which is the East
so
End of Richmond.
You're right. It's kind of, well, it's a whole, that's a much bigger discussion when we think about regionalism
exactly.
in our community.
But it's very important, mm-hmm. I think, to connect those East End dots with the young people that we're serving in the East End of Richmond.
Right.
So we're here to try to make sure we serve as many of the young people in need as we can.
Great. Now, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And today we're joined by Harold Fitcher of Communities and Schools in Richmond. And Harold, remind us again what your website is, where people can get more details.
The website is www.cisofrichmond.org.
cisofrichmond.org. Great. Now, you mentioned earlier briefly something about the Performance Learning Centers. Can you share a little bit about what that's
absolutely
what that involves?
So, in 2005, we started looking from the school system and from as CIS was developing at an alternative program that was actually being run out of Atlanta, Georgia, where they were taking young people that were ready to drop out of school. Many of them had already dropped out of school, and they took them into a model that was really 60% online instruction and 40% direct instruction, which allowed the instructors to have groups of two or three at any one time, so individualizing instruction. We were, and I was actually with the school system at the time, very pleased with what we saw. Although the model was very expensive, it was actually a charter school. They owned their own buildings. They hired their own teachers. We came back and created what is now a public-private partnership with the school system, where they provide us with the teachers. We retrain them somewhat into our model. We put the model in place that allows for the 60-40 split. And what we found is we take young people that are at least 10 credits from graduation, overage and failing. Most of the young people that we see have already dropped out of school, or they're just not coming and they haven't reached that magic day yet. And we're having a 97% to 98% graduation rate with a real high school diploma.
Wow. So that's how many students is that each year?
This past year it was 167 students, which is just about the same size as a high school graduating class for Richmond. So we're talking about adding an entire another school onto the board. And some of these young people have had some incredible stories. We had one young girl that came to us, and she came to us in a pretty desperate situation. She had a bad home life. She needed 14 credits to graduate. She had been put out of two schools and counties and one in the city of Richmond, and came, and to make matters worse, she was a little over 8 months pregnant. And just a real difficult situation. She had the baby, came back, and within that 1 year finished all 14 credits, including perfect scores on her English SOLs, and is now in Virginia Commonwealth University in the School of Nursing.
Is that right? Wow, that's an incredible story. I mean, somebody that without an opportunity for an alternative setting, she probably would have had to drop out, just thinking about her family situation and everything else.
She really would have. Just a very difficult situation at home, and this is a being raised by a very young mom that you know did not have all the skills in the toolbox in order to raise a child, and she has really lifted above. We had a young guy last year that dropped out of school needing only 4 credits for graduation. Mm-hmm. And he dropped out because he and his girlfriend, they had a family, decided had to do the right thing, and he got a job and was really fending for the family. But unfortunately, his job required that he work on Monday and Fridays during the day. They wouldn't let him work in the evening because they got shipments in. Because of the kind of program that we have, it allowed us to be more flexible. And he's graduated from school and is now in a culinary school at J. Sargent Reynolds. So
he's able to further his studies and in the future would be able to even better support his family.
And what really helps is our goal with this is to get them a high school diploma, because that's another one of those points in time where decisions can be made. Without a high school diploma, the decisions are very minor. There's not a lot of places that are going to hire you, including the military, is not going to be an option for the young people, where if we can get them that high school diploma, now they have options. It could be going to J. Sarge, it could be going to military, it could be applying for a job, but they have options. And what we want to do is make sure that we get the young people to that point in time in life where they have the option.
You shared a couple of really great stories that illustrate what difference it can make when you can have a program like the Performance Learning Centers that provide a little bit of flexibility and support to meet students where they are. How else do you know you're making a difference? I'm thinking about maybe some of the programs when the students are younger. How do you know that Communities in Schools is having a positive impact on students' lives?
Well, there's a couple things, and one is this past year we worked with 14,400 students.
Out of the how many? 23?
Out of 23,000. We case managed, meaning we had intensive work with about 3,200. And when we look at those 3,200, 75% of those young people improved their academic performance, 71% improved their behavior, 69% improved their attendance, and 85% of the eligible seniors graduated on time. So we're seeing a really high graduation. If we get them into PLC, that rate goes even higher. So we know we're making a difference in their life because we're getting them from one grade to the next. we have a great partnership right now with the Boys and Girls Club of Metro Richmond, where we're keeping one of the middle schools open, Martin Luther King Middle School, until 7:30 every evening, serving dinner with the help of Feed More every single night before they go home, because we know that we lose so many of the young people when they leave middle school because they start getting into the street, they start getting pulled by things that are not as appropriate. So working with them at the school, actually having a partnership that's between communities and schools, the Boys and Girls Club, and the school system, we actually have put not only the wraparound services that we do with communities and schools into the evening as well, but we've also put a full Boys and Girls Club in the school in the afternoon so that we can keep young people busy in a positive activity all the way through until somebody is home in the evening with them.
Great. And then hopefully if they are engaging in recreational or other type of enrichment opportunities after school, maybe they'll be more inclined to come to school during the day too?
Well, we think so. I mean, you know, one of the key things is keeping people engaged. It is, after you start disengaging, it's really hard to drop out, you know, because people know if you're not there. If on the other side you've disengaged and nobody really knows whether you're there anymore, and it's very easy to kind of say
just
goodbye.
Just disappear. Yeah.
Yeah. You just fall through the cracks. That engagement we think keeps them coming every day.
Well, it sounds clear to me that Communities and Schools of Richmond is working hard to keep students engaged, keep families engaged, and make sure that all of those community resources that Richmond has, which is abundant, are available to the students that need them the most. So, Harold Fitcher of Communities and Schools of Richmond, thanks so much for joining us today on 97.3 FM.
It is my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and remind us one more time, what's your website where people can get more details?
Website is www.cisofrichmond.org.
Great. Thanks again, Harold. And as always, I'm thankful to my fellow volunteers here at WRIR, folks like Jay Westerman, who helps out on the technical side, and Brittany Tracy, who makes sure we have the Inspire Indeed blog up to date on inspireindeed.blogspot.com. And she's also volunteering on the soundboard here today, making sure that you can hear your favorite shows here on volunteer-powered WRIR 97.3 LPFM. If you'd like to learn how you can get involved here, you can go to our website, which is wrir.org. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and you've been listening to Inspire Indeed. I hope you learned something new today and are ready to go out and make a difference with your deeds.